continuing our series on relationships, and we're talking about marriage today. And I want to say to you, first of all, that this message is really for everybody, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're single and you have no desire to get married, or you're looking for someone one day and you're available. In fact, if you're single and you're available, church is a really good place to meet somebody. So just slip your hand up and look around the room real quick and see if anybody's interested, interesting looking, okay? We have some available people here today. I can give some references as well. But this message is for everybody. The scripture tells us that marriage is to be honored by everyone. Marriage is to be honored by everyone. And sadly, we live in a culture that doesn't honor marriage. It's the sad truth, right? Marriage is dismissed as irrelevant. It's old-fashioned. Who needs marriage? It's dismissed as a career buster. If you get married, it's going to short-circuit your career. It's going to derail your career. It's delayed for the wrong reasons. People don't want to commit to each other that way, so they delay marriage. There's good reasons to delay marriage. That's not a good reason. It's redefined. It's ridiculed. Who needs it? But the scripture says that marriage is to be honored. And that's because marriage has a God-given form and function. You should have received some notes when you came in today. I want to invite you to take those out and follow along with us. We're going to be giving you some things that you can write down today. Because here's the main idea of the message today. Marriage is a reflection of God's love for humanity and really of Christ's love for the church. That's the heart of it. That's why marriage is so important. That is the purpose and the reason that God formed and created marriage. And it serves a very important purpose in the church. And that's why it's to be honored. That's why it's to be revered. That's why it's to be protected. That's why we need stronger marriages in the church. That's why we need single Christians to be preparing in the proper way for marriage. We need to honor marriage. And so I want to talk to you about four reasons that God created marriage and why it matters. You know, we live in a culture that has forgotten why marriage matters. Sadly, we live in a culture that doesn't take marriage serious, that doesn't honor marriage. And it's mostly, for many reasons, people don't even know why marriage matters, why they should get married. What difference does it make? And in the church, we should have some convictions about the sacredness and the sanctity of marriage. And we want to talk about those today. So four reasons that God created marriage and why it matters. Now, I'm running a little bit short on time because of the game segment, so you have to listen fast as I teach fast, okay? So get ready to take some notes. But first of all, God created marriage for the connection of men and women. Everybody say connection. For the connection of men and women. That word means everything you think that it means, emotionally, mentally, physically, sexually. God created marriage for the connection of men and women. In the creation story in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, after God created Adam, he said this, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a companion who is right for him." So God looked at this man, Adam, that he had created from the dust of the ground. He breathed into him the breath of life, and he looked at this guy, and he thought, you know what? This guy is a mess. This guy can't cook. He can't clean. If he picks out colors for the house, he's going to mess it all up. He needs a woman. I have to do something about this. Now, seriously, God looked at Adam and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion who is right for him. And so marriage is designed by God for connection, for companionship. It's God who dreamed up this idea, love and romance and sex and marriage. This is all from God. Oh, isn't he a good God? Amen. These are good gifts from God. You know, marriage is intended to be an antidote to loneliness. It's about partnership. It's about companionship. There is no greater form of companionship. There is no higher level of companionship than the companionship of a man and woman who are committed together in marriage for the rest of their lives. There's all kind of wonderful relationships that people can experience in life, but there is something about the companionship of a man and a woman coming together in marriage. It's a beautiful thing that God created, and we're going to unpack this some more throughout this teaching today, but it's a picture of God's love for us. God designed it, and it's the highest form of companionship. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. God's plan has been from the beginning of creation when he made us male and female. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united as one body. Now, since they are no longer two but one, no one should separate them, for God has joined them together. God has joined them together. So three things that I see in this passage, three things that we see that are so important. Number one, marriage is God's plan. Jesus says here, from the very beginning, this was God's plan. It's not a man-made institution. It's sacred. It's sacred. It's something that God created. Because if it's man-made, men can treat it how they want to treat it. But in the church, we know that what the scripture teaches us, what the church has believed for thousands of years, is that God gave us the gift of marriage. It's from his hand. Number two, marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what the scripture tells us here. Now, I'm not going to venture into politics or culture wars here. We're looking at what the scripture teaches us. We're looking at what the church has believed from the very beginning, and that is that God created marriage to be between a man and a woman. In fact, I would say this. If you look here in the scripture, the truth is that both men and women carry the image of God. Neither gender has all of the image of God. Both man and woman are created with intrinsic, wonderful value, and they reflect the glory and the image of God, and we need each other. And outside of marriage today, even if you aren't married, I want to say this to you. You know, you actually need men and women in your lives. You need friends from both genders because none of us carries the complete image of God in us. So we're more rounded out when we have friends and we have companionship and we have other people in our lives from the opposite sex. But certainly in marriage, it's meant to be between a man and a woman. And the third thing is this, marriage is meant to be permanent for life. No one should separate them, for God has joined them together. And listen, if you've been through divorce, or you're going through a divorce, or your marriage is broken right now, this message is not meant to condemn you. We're looking at what scripture teaches us. We're looking at what the Bible has to teach us about marriage, and how it's to be honored, and how it's to be revered. And I'll tell you, you know, when you take God out of the equation, marriage can become a contract and not a covenant. Isn't that true? So many people look at marriage like that in today's culture, that marriage is just like this legal contract. And how many of you know contracts can be broken? Contracts can be broken. A lot of people approach marriage in our culture today with this idea of marriage is this contract, and as long as you hold up your end of the bargain, I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain, and we're okay. But if the terms change, I'm out. If this no longer continues to work the way I thought it would work when we first got into this, there's an escape clause, and I'm getting out of this thing. And sadly, that's how many people approach marriage in our culture today. But we don't want to have that attitude in the church. We want to recognize that this is about connection. This is something that only God can do. This is spiritual. This is sacred. Christian marriage is meant to be a commitment to your spouse and to God. How many of you know that's true? It's a commitment. It's a promise you make to your spouse and to God. If a Christian couple were to come to me today and say, Pastor, we want to get married, and we were to talk about that, and I said, well, tell me why you want to get married, and they were to say, well, because we love each other. I would say, well, isn't that wonderful? That's why everybody gets married, because we love each other. But in Christian marriage, we don't just marry because we love each other. We marry because we want to honor God. We want to honor God. We want to obey his word. We want his blessing upon us. We want to enter into a covenant. We understand that God connects us. The scripture tells us that God literally knits us together and we become one spiritually. Something happens there. Something sacred happens at every wedding. And we need to understand that today. And that's why there's a difference between cohabitating and actually being in marriage. And in that kind of relationship, if you cohabitate, you can love each other and you might have a wonderful relationship. You might even get along with some married people. That's the truth. And things may be wonderful, and you may have a great relationship, but you're not in covenant with each other. You're not in covenant, and you don't have a covenant with God. So a Christian marriage, the picture of Christian marriage is that we're in covenant with each other, and we're in covenant with God. So here's how that plays out. That means when I don't feel like I love you anymore, that means when the love feelings have gone, that means when things are bad, the reason you stay married is not because you had a legal contract. The reason you stay married is because you not only made a promise to your spouse, but you made a promise to God. You made a promise to God, and you understand that God has done something in the spiritual realm in knitting you together. So God gave us this beautiful gift of marriage for the connection of men and women on a whole nother level. No other relationship in the world connects a man and a woman like marriage does. Here's the second thing. God created marriage for the procreation and protection of children. Procreation and protection of children. God is love, and God wanted a family, and we're all here because of that fact. Isn't that amazing to think about? Think about that. God didn't have to create the human race. God could have been perfectly happy in heaven in his completeness. He's God. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He could have everything he wanted, and yet God chose to create a family for himself. We see that in Scripture, that God desires to have a relationship with his creation, that humans are the pinnacle of his creation. The only thing in all of creation that the scripture says is made in his image, and God desires to have a relationship with us. God desires to have a family. That's what the church is all about. We talked about that last week. It's the family of God, and we're here because of that fact. It's God who invented marriage. It's God who invented sex. It's God who dreamed up this idea of bringing people into existence. Sometimes we kind of have this Victorian, old-fashioned idea that God is this God up in heaven. He's this old man who's looking down, and he's shy, and he's embarrassed when he looks down and sees people making love on planet Earth. No, hello, God invented it. He created it. He's not shocked by it. He gave us this gift to for enjoyment, but also for procreation. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28, the New Living Translation says, "So God created people in his own image. He patterned them after himself, creating both male and female with his image. Then God blessed them and commanded them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth.'" So the first command that God gave people was to get married, have sex, and have babies. And do you know in the history of the world, this is the only command that people have been able to keep? But, you know, think about this for a moment. Think about this. The creator of the world, the God of all creation, the creator, he gave human beings the power to create. It's one of those things that truly helps us to know that we're made in God's image. It truly helps us to know that we're made in God's image, that God gave us the power to create, to populate the earth, that he chose to do that through us. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome responsibility. And that should also remind us of how sacred sexuality is. And that's why we've always believed in the church that it's meant to happen in a married relationship, that this is a sacred thing. This is a spiritual thing. Our culture treats sexuality like it's something very trite, like it's something very flimsy. But the church has always believed that this is a sacred gift from God. And when you think about the potential of it, when you think about the power of this creative act, man, it just makes you realize how sacred it is that God has entrusted this to us. Now, this is not meant to demean anybody here today who's married, who don't have kids. If you don't have kids, or if maybe you're not able to have kids, God understands that. God understands that. What we're looking at is the purpose here. We're looking at these biblical purposes. And so if you're not able to have kids or you haven't had kids yet, this isn't meant to demean you at all, but we're helping you see that this is a wonderful gift. This is part of marriage. This is part of the reason God gave us this beautiful gift of marriage. Now, marriage is not just about procreation. It's also about the protection of children. Everybody say protection. Just want to make sure you're with me this morning. So you came into this world completely helpless, didn't you? You needed somebody to take care of you, to nurture you, to guide you, to train you, to look after you, to care for you, to protect you. You know who the most vulnerable people are on the planet? Children without a family. How many of you know that's true? The most vulnerable people on the planet are children without a family. Think about it. And research and studies have shown repeatedly, time after time after time, that children flourish best in a family. Children flourish best in a family that's intact, in a healthy, nurturing family. You know, so many people these days, experts and psychologists and educators, are trying to figure out what's going on with kids in America these days. You know, why are so many kids getting pregnant as teenagers and dropping out of school and getting hooked on drugs and getting involved in gangs and violence? Maybe we just need to educate our kids better. Maybe we need more after-school programs. Maybe we need better nutrition. If they would just eat better, they would behave better. Listen, I'm thankful for all of those ideas, but how about this solution? We have healthy families. Healthy marriages. We quit having kids who have nobody there to take care of them. See, that's what it's all about. That's the root of the problem, that kids flourish best in a healthy family. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 says this, "Those who obey and respect the Lord have a secure fortress. Their children have a place of refuge and security." Their children have a place of refuge and security. You see, when children are loved, in a marriage, in a home, in a family, it's actually a picture of how God loves us. It's a picture of God's love for us as a heavenly Father. And so we want to promote healthy marriages and healthy families because it's the best thing for our children. It's the best thing for them to develop and grow and become everything that they can be and do everything that God desires them to do. And that's why marriage is a gift. It's for the nurturing and the protection of children. And let me say this to you. If you're divorced or you're going through a divorce or that's part of your past, listen, we're going to believe with you that God's going to keep his hand upon your kids. Come on, we're going to stand with you as a church family. God's a God of redemption. God is a God of redemption. Your kids don't have to repeat the same mistake. Your kids don't have to do the same thing. They don't have to experience the same brokenness. And we're going to pray and believe with you. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe there's you come from a family that was really messed up as a kid and all you've really known is dysfunction and you're nervous and worried about what's that going to look like when I have a family. Listen, God is a God of redemption.
God's a God of redemption. In Christ Jesus, those things are broken. The past is erased. And we're believing that God's grace is going to be upon you to protect and nurture those kids and bring them up to be everything that God desires them to be. Here's the third thing. God created marriage for the perfection of our character. The perfection of our character. Some of the married folks are laughing because you know exactly what this is all about. You know, not only were we born helpless, but we were all born completely selfish. How many of you know that's true? There is nothing more selfish than a newborn baby. We have a few newborn babies in here, and some of these parents can say, amen, that is so true. That newborn baby does not care at 3 o'clock in the morning if you need sleep or not when he's hungry. He does not care. We'll wake you up repeatedly over and over and over again. I got three of them at home. I'm looking forward to sleeping one of these days. One of these days. But that baby has to be changed, and that baby has to be fed, and that baby has to be clothed, and that diaper has to be changed, and he's got to be wiped, and the running nose, all of those things, they have to be taken care of because a baby is completely selfish. We would never put up with that from our kids when they were teenagers, right? Can you imagine your kid waking you up at 4 o'clock in the morning saying, I'm hungry? I'd be like, get out of my face, kid. You know where the refrigerator is, right? But a baby, it just comes with the territory, right? What I love is, you know, having three kids, the other two are really helping raise the third one, you know. So by the time he's 2 years old, it's like, look, kid, you're on your own. You got this. You got two older brothers. You can start looking for a part-time job soon and help contribute to this rent, okay? But a baby is completely selfish. We're all born selfish, and we have to learn. We have to unlearn our selfishness, right? We begin this path, this journey of life in which we begin to realize that it's not all about me. It ain't all about me. It's about other people. It's about learning to give. That the most fulfilling way to live life is when you live life for others. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says this, it's selfish and stupid to think only of yourself. There's some wisdom. And yet we live in a culture that in so many ways tells us all the time, it's all about you. It's all about you. But it's selfish and stupid to think only of yourself. And marriage is a lifelong course in learning to be unselfish, isn't it? It's a lifelong course in learning to be unselfish. Marriage is the laboratory where we learn to love. How many of you married people can say amen to that? Isn't that so true? See, if you're married, the number one thing, the number one tool that God uses to teach you is your marriage. If you're married, your spouse is the training ground for you to develop godly character. Just turn to your spouse and say, you are my training ground. You're my training ground. Your spouse is the number one thing, your spouse is the training ground that God is using to develop your godly character. So maybe that explains why they're such a pain in the butt. Because God is using them in their flaws, in their weaknesses, in their quirkiness, in their personality habits, and the fact that they leave hairs in the sink and they don't put the toilet seat down. All of those things, God is using all of these things in our lives, all of our habits, and he's making us better people. He's building our character. God is so brilliant, really. If you stop and think about it, God is just brilliant. Because we're all naturally kind of selfish and self-centered. And then, you know, we meet somebody who we love and we get married. And then you just start learning how to be unselfish. You just start learning that other people have needs and they have habits and they have things that have to be put up with. And if you want them to put up with your stuff, you have to put up with their stuff. And you learn to be giving and self-sacrificing. And just when you start to get that down and you're making progress, God gives you kids. And he messes it all up. And if you don't get it on the first one, he gives you multiple chances to get it right. Until eventually they kill you. But God's brilliant. He gave us this gift of marriage to perfect us. I want you to write this down. Everybody, write this down. Put this in your notes. The purpose of marriage is to make me holy, not happy. Write that down. The purpose of marriage is to make me holy, not happy. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have happiness and joy in your marriage. But here's the truth. There's going to be times when you're not going to have happiness. I could sit up here and, you know, waste your time, but if you're married, you don't need me to tell you that. And if you're single, you really need to put this in your notes. The purpose of marriage is to make you holy, not happy. Here's the truth. Marriage will not solve your problems. Marriage will not solve any of your problems. In fact, it'll only probably create more problems. If you have weaknesses, it's going to expose your weaknesses, isn't it? And you can't blame it all on your spouse. If you had those troubles in your background, if you had that personality trait when you come into marriage, it just reveals itself. That's all that happens. You can't blame it on them. It was already there. Marriage just has a way of bringing it out, doesn't it?
Oh, come on. Can we just keep it real and have fun in church today? And just we're just having a come to Jesus meeting today, okay? This is group therapy. This is group therapy. I'm in session with you. I promise you, my wife's taking notes over there. She's going to preach this sermon back to me. But God gave us this gift to perfect us, to perfect our character, to make us holy. You know, I got married when I was 22 years old. When I was 22, getting ready to turn 23, and I thought I knew a whole lot about loving a woman at that time. In high school, I had listened to a lot of Boys to Men, you know, very romantic music, and slow dance with a lot of girls, and I kind of thought I had it figured out. Man, I got this, man. I've listened to a lot, you know, I'm romantic, I'm passionate, and, you know, this is going to be great. I didn't know jack. That's the truth. I had a lot to learn. And now, you know, I realize that love looks a lot more like doing the dishes thousands and thousands and thousands of times. I just wake up in the middle of the night with cold sweats about doing dishes sometimes and taking out the trash and changing diapers and cleaning. That's marriage. You know, love looks like my wife standing by me in my lowest time when I didn't have it all together, when I wasn't strong. In my weakest time, my wife standing by me. That's what love looks like. Love looks like holding my wife's hand through three C-sections. Boy, that was romantic, wasn't it? That's what love looks like. That's what true love looks like. It's about God perfecting us. It's about God making us into something. And he gives us this beautiful, beautiful gift of marriage to make you more like Christ. Listen, it's not easy, but it's a gift. Isn't that true? It's not easy, but it's a gift that God uses to perfect our character. And here's the fourth thing. God created marriage for the reflection of our union with Christ. Put that in your notes this morning. The reflection of our union with Christ. This is kind of the height of where I want to go with the message today. This is really the most sacred thing about God's purpose in creating marriage. He gave us marriage so that men and women could connect and procreate and protect children and to perfect our character. But ultimately, here's why marriage is a gift to the church. So if you're single, I want you to perk up and listen. If you're hoping of getting married one day, everybody, no matter where you're at in life, if you have no desire to get married, this is what we all need to know today. This is why God gave us this gift of marriage, and it's a gift to the church. Marriage is a metaphor for a profound spiritual truth. It's meant to model how God loves us. It's literally meant to model our union with Christ, how God loves us. Look at what the Apostle Paul has to say in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. Now, maybe you've heard this scripture read before at a wedding. We could do a whole series just on this passage. I don't have all the time to do it justice, but we want to look at this portion of scripture today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. The Apostle Paul writes this, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church." Wow, there's a tall order right there. Just as Christ loved the church. "He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault." Verse 28, in the same way, husbands, are you listening? Husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it. Come on, ladies, you can say your husband feeds his body and takes care of it. He loves his body in that way. And the Bible says that we are to love our wives in the same way that we actually care for ourselves, just as Christ cares for the church. Verse 30, and we are members of his body. So here's this picture, Paul's saying. It's this picture of how a husband loves his wife is a picture of how Christ loves the church. Verse 31, as the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. In other words, we can't fully explain it. We can't fully explain how it is that marriage somehow reflects the beauty and the wonder of the way God loves us and the way Christ loves the church, but God has given us this relationship. God has given us this sacred covenant. God has given us this beautiful gift of marriage to somehow be a reflection of God's love for us. And it's the only relationship on planet Earth that can somehow reflect Christ's love for the church. Very sacred. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the most profound meaning of marriage. some of the other, you know, meanings of marriage, you know, those are kind of basic things, right? Procreation and women connecting, and you know, you guys could figure some of those things out. But this is a mystery. This is something we have to meditate on. This is something we have to say, God, open our hearts to get this. Open our minds and our spirits to really get what this means, because marriage reflects our union with God, our relationship with God. And look at how this passage of scripture describes it. It's about selflessness. It's about self-sacrifice, loving your spouse the way Christ loved the church. That's all about selflessness. It's about sacrifice. It's about respect. It's about two people fully giving themselves to each other. And isn't that how God loved us? He fully gave himself for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only son. He didn't hold anything back. It was the ultimate act of emptying himself, of giving himself to us, of self-sacrifice, sending his son to go to the cross for us. And here's what the apostle is telling us. The apostle Paul is saying that's what marriage is like. It's about fully giving yourself, devoting yourself, putting someone else's before yourself. And it's sacred. It's a wonderful obligation, and boy, do we need God's help to do it. When you recognize the task at hand, when you recognize what's been entrusted to us, it makes us realize, Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. And we live in a culture that's forgotten why marriage matters. We live in a culture that demeans marriage, that disrespects marriage, that puts marriage down all the time. You know, people go off to Vegas and in a drunken weekend get married to somebody and wake up and they're married and they get divorced. Celebrities spend millions of dollars on weddings that are like televised events, only to get divorced like 6 months later. People run up multiple tallies of marriage. They get married like you would, you know, speed date. They collect marriages and get divorced. Our culture demeans and disrespects marriage. But you know what gets people's attention still, even in this culture? You know what makes the news? You know what touches people's hearts? When they come across a married couple who's been together 50, 60 years, 70 years, it gets people's attention, doesn't it? It still grabs our attention and touches our hearts. Why is that? Because even in this culture, people can look at that and see the beauty of two people fully devoting themselves and giving themselves to each other, a man and a woman coming together and vowing to give their lives to each other, putting each other first, giving themselves so fully to each other that they become one. They become one. You know, people who have been married like that for years, maybe you had grandparents like that or some elderly folks that you respect, they've just been together so long, it's like they've rubbed off on each other so much. You can't tell who's who. They've done life together so much. They've really become like one unit, one person. And we all look at that and we're all touched by that at the heart level. And why is that? Why is that? It's because God has given us this beautiful picture of his love for us. And Paul says it's a mystery the way it speaks to us, but it speaks to our hearts because it's a reflection of God's love for humanity. It's a reflection of how selfless God was, of emptying himself and giving himself to us fully. And here's what God's saying. Somehow marriage reflects that. There's no other relationship that can reflect that. Even parent-child, as beautiful as that even shows us some aspect of what God is like. But God's saying, if you want something on earth, if you want an earth counterpoint to something that happens in heaven that will blow your mind, here's a picture of marriage if you want to know what Christ's love is like for the church. And I don't know about you, but man, I want to have a marriage like that. And I recognize how much I need God's help for that. And that's why, as a church, we have to be committed to honoring marriage. That's why we have to be committed to revering and respecting and building healthy marriages. That's why, if you're single today, we want you to prepare your heart for marriage. Become everything that God desires you to become. Don't worry about that perfect person out there. Start becoming who God wants you to be so you're ready when God brings that person into your life. Oh, if you're single, you need to write that down. Get your phone out and put that in your phone right now. Start working on you. Start allowing God to prepare your heart. If you're married today, we need to reclaim the wonder and the sacredness and the beauty of exactly what God has entrusted to us, the creative power, the symbolism, this picture that God has given us. Listen, this is why we need healthy marriages in the church. Single people need to see healthy marriages in the church. Engaged people need to see healthy marriages in the church. People living together need to see healthy marriages in the church so they can say, I want that. I want that covenant. I want that relationship. I want that blessing. And so collectively, what we're after today is we want to be a church that honors marriage, a church that prays for each other, a church that encourages each other, a church that doesn't demean or put marriage down, but a church that builds marriages up. And that's our prayer today, that God would help us to do that. I want to pray for you this morning. The worship team is going to come back. Why don't you just stand with us as the team's coming back, and I want to pray for you. And our prayer time is very simple today. I want you just to have a moment with God today. After you stand to your feet, just bow your head. If you're married, if you want to take your spouse's hand, that's a wonderful thing. If you're single, doesn't matter who you are, just let's just open our hearts, because it's really, this message is for everybody. When we understand that marriage is a gift to the church, we recognize it's been entrusted to all of us, for all of us to pray for healthy marriages in the church, for all of us to do what we can do to encourage each other, married friends, family, to honor and revere this beautiful gift that God has given to us. So would you just bow your head? And here's what we're going to pray today. If you're single, I think your prayer today is, and if you have the desire to get married, God, prepare my heart. Prepare my heart so that I can be the person I need to be when I meet that right person. God, work on me. I'm giving you permission to work in my heart and prepare me to be that kind of person, to revere this wonderful gift of marriage. Maybe you're a couple who's living together today, and maybe for you today, your prayers to start really talking about getting married, really being in covenant. Maybe you have a wonderful relationship, but you don't have that covenant. You don't have that, you know, that time that you stood before God and he knit you together spiritually. That can only happen in marriage. Maybe you need to get that conversation going. We want to encourage you to do that. Marriage is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's the way you can most fully give yourself to each other. If we're married today, I think our prayer today is, God, help us to honor you by honoring our spouse. And God, we recognize how much we need your help for that. God, we recognize our own shortcomings, our own failures. God, we recognize that in our own capacity, we don't really have the ability to do it. But God, we're asking you to help us to do that. Help us to honor you by honoring the person that you gave to us. And just maybe there's some people in here today, you're divorced, or you've been through a divorce, or your marriage is broken right now. And listen, I don't want you to leave this place discouraged. I don't want you to leave this place feeling like a failure. I don't want you to leave this place with your heart heavy. No, no, no. God is a God of redemption. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. And so we just want you to know his healing today. I want you to have no fear about your children and their upbringing and what's going to happen to them. I believe God wants to protect and bless and keep your children. He's going to work through you. So maybe if you're divorced today, or if you're in the middle of a broken marriage, you just open your heart today and say, God, just bring healing, bring forgiveness. Maybe you plan to get married again one day. God, help me to learn from these principles. Help me to revere and honor marriage so that my heart will be prepared for the future. And so let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for the gift of relationships. God, we thank you for this beautiful gift of marriage that you've given to us. God, thank you that it's a picture of the way you love us. It's the picture of how you are self-sacrificial, how you're generous, how you're giving, how you poured yourself out, how you gave yourself to us so fully. God, today we want to be a church that honors marriage, that reveres marriage. God, we're asking you to strengthen our marriages, to protect our marriages. God, we're asking you to help us to honor you by honoring our spouses, God. Father, every person in this place that we would revere and honor marriage, we thank you for it, God. God, we thank you that you're even doing healing in some people's hearts today. God, if we need to speak some words of forgiveness to each other, God, give us the courage to do that. God, give us the grace to forgive today. Give us just love for each other. And God, somehow, would you take this relationship? Would you take our marriage? Would you take flawed people like us? And God, would you use this relationship to be a beautiful picture of your love to the world? We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.